Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Yeah. He recently tied Hideki Matsui at 175. And now, over the weekend, hit number 176. Officially passing him and being the all-time Japanese-born record holder for Major League Baseball homers. Which is really cool.
Yeah.
A really good milestone for him. And it was cool because he did it at Dodger Stadium. Tons of fans in the stands.
Fly ball onto the track, at the wall, it's gone! Home run!
Turns on a ball, deep right field, and gone!
What a game, what a moment. Happy Monday, my friends. Welcome to another episode of Flippin' Bats, and we have a lot to talk about on this Monday. We have power rankings, a new top 10 power rankings, as we do every single Monday, as well as Team of the Week. Player of the week, the usual Monday stuff there, overreaction Monday. We're going to talk about Paul Skenes, still in the minor leagues. Should he be there? Should he be there? Why is he still there? When should he be called up? All that. The Dodgers, what's going on with the Dodgers? They're right around the 500 mark. Are they good enough to win as they are currently assembled? Who's the best rotation in the National League? A lot to talk about today. Alex?
Hello.
You ready?
Ben?
Hello.
Yeah, that was a funny lot to talk about. Alex,
yes.
My friend. Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah.
This was a fun weekend. A lot going on the field, off the field. There's just like a lot of smiles all around.
Good
you know
weekend.
Who else? I had a great weekend. I threw my sister's baby shower. So, you know, I'm about to be a double auntie this summer. So, yeah, wild. Good times.
You threw it.
I threw it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, first time. But I'm a great party thrower. I'm there. I do food, booze, and vibes really well. That's my jam. Games? Not my thing. But everything else, like, I have you covered.
Okay.
So it was great.
Okay.
You?
Yeah. Good weekend. What'd I do? Went to a comedy show.
Where? Love comedy shows.
Down in Hermosa.
Oh, do you have comedy magic?
Yes.
Yeah. Love that for
yes,
you.
Yes, I performed. Everybody
cool.
loved it.
Did you get called out?
No.
Are you one of those that like to, like, be involved
I would
in
like
the front?
I would love to
okay.
be
Okay, I figured
out,
you'd be one
roasted,
of those.
Roasted, whatever. Whatever.
This is my love language. But, keep going at me.
But yeah, did that. Good weekend.
It was. You know who else was all smiles this weekend?
Who?
Shohei Ohtani, you guys, because he just officially became the all-time home run leader for a Japanese-born Major League Baseball player. And that was probably one of the biggest smiles I've ever seen him have.
Yeah, 176. It felt like we knew this was coming.
Yeah.
He recently tied Hideki Matsui at 175. And now, over the weekend, hit number 176, officially passing him and being the all-time Japanese-born record holder for Major League Baseball homers, which is really cool.
Yeah.
A really good milestone for him. And it was cool because he did it at Dodger Stadium, tons of fans in the stands, and he actually acknowledged that. He said there were a lot of people in the stands, and I only hit a few homers for Dodgers fans, so I'm looking forward to hitting tens and hundreds more
Whoa,
for Dodgers fans,
yeah.
which is a great quote.
As he should.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know he's going to be up there with some of the top home run leaders
oh, yeah.
in Major League Baseball. Yeah. He also had a funny little quote after the game, right? Saying
yeah.
he wants to get more than his manager in a Dodger uniform.
Yeah.
Which was pretty good.
He said, so Dave Roberts, manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, is also a Japanese-born baseball player
uh-huh.
that played for the Dodgers and hit a grand total of 7 home runs
yeah.
for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So Shohei is only at 5 for the Dodgers.
He's getting close.
So Shohei said, I want to break my, here, it's in the wall.
Yeah.
He said he wants to break his manager's record. So
I love that.
Will it happen? Nobody knows, but I have a good feeling it might.
I think it'll probably happen very soon here. Yeah. As we've been talking about, he is off to an extremely hot start. Especially, last week we compared it to his MVP season last year, and he's already, numbers are already like surpassing all of that. So he's just fine. He's just getting
weekend.
Started.
He's hitting 368 right now.
Yeah, no, he's
it's insane.
Absolutely crushing it, which we knew was going to happen because he was only focusing on hitting this year instead of, you know, pitching. Now he's just getting closer to recovering
and
coming back. But, Ben, you know who else is having a blast right now to start the season?
Who?
The Orioles.
Yeah,
one of your
are.
Favorite teams out there.
Yeah, they are. We talked all about them to end last week. They are having a blast. And I don't think people quite... When a locker room is to the contrary of what the Orioles is, it gets a lot of talk, right?
Yeah.
Like, I point to the Padres of last year. A lot of talent. Just never felt like the vibe was right. And you could say that the same thing about the Mets from last year. Talent, but... the vibe was never right, and the locker room culture was never right, and their ability to get the ball rolling just never really started. But there is a contrary to that that also affects play on the field a lot, and it's having a locker room of guys that just gel and mesh so well together. And it is so obvious right now that that's the Orioles. And then you think about it, this team is so young. They have all these guys getting called up that are, you know, the Jackson Holidays of the world, the Jordan Westbergs of the world, the Colton Cowsers, Adley's still young. All these guys played together in the minor leagues
well. That's
so
huge.
They're just like living that minor league grind life where they experience that all together. Now they're just in the big leagues doing it all, and they're having so much fun. And that has never been more evident over the weekend. Craig Kimbrell got a massive save, tying Billy Wagner for all-time saves. And what happened out in the outfield, Colton Cowser, one of the young guys on the team.
Yep.
Well, what did he do? He caught the last out of the game for the big save of Craig Kimbrell. Caught it. If you're watching, you can see it. Caught it right on the warning track, put it in his glove or put it in his hand and flipped it back over the wall, backwards.
Like, looked like he was joking. Like, oh, I know what this is. Bye.
Nope, but a big-time save ball thrown way behind him. And the reason we're talking about this and the vibes is because the post-game interviews about this just kind of fully or, like, really fully encompass the entire vibe in that locker room right now. So I'm going to read a little bit of it. And the reporter started by saying, when did you realize you messed up? Cowser said, right when I threw it. I said, Craig has a lot of saves. That one might have been important. I literally told Cedric Mullins, right when I did it, I might have messed up. And it turns out I did.
Yeah.
We got the ball back, though. They said it was the only one in the bottom. So it went in the fountain. The other one was really old. That one was the other one. So then he said, so it was in the fountain, Colton Cowser. It was. Apparently the ball sinks after 2 minutes. That's what they said. So you threw it directly into the fountain, he was asked. I just yeeted it behind me. I didn't think much. I kind of messed up. I think every time Craig has a save now, and this is when he was interrupted by Jackson Holiday, interrupted him and said, what did you do again? Cowser said, I yeeted it. So it just a funny, like a great exchange from all those guys. I mean, how often in an interview are you just hearing the guy that just threw a big time save ball in a fountain at Kauffman Stadium behind him says, yeah, I just yeeted it back there. And then locker room gives him a bunch of crap. And then today, the very following day of all of this, Colton Cowser hits a home run into the same fountain, probably thinking as he rounds the bases, after 2 minutes, that's going to sink, and it's going to be down there with the other one down there. So just the vibes, the players, the energy they have, the dong bong, the vibes in Baltimore and in Kansas City for those is just top tier. I love to see this, and it is really important because it does affect your play.
Now, locker room chemistry is the secret sauce to winning. When a team is that close, having that much fun, and especially a group like the Orioles that you can tell, as you mentioned, really came up through the minors together. So this is family. If you have that, that's something you can't buy, you can't trade for. That comes with time and being in the system together. And this is a very rare and unique quality that the Orioles have that is going to be their secret weapon moving forward.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So, you know, I love the O's. I got them in the World Series this year. And, you know, I don't know. Like last year, it kind of.
There's something.
I don't think.
There's something special.
I don't think last year took the Orioles by surprise, but it was really the year that they like announced themselves on the scene and they started coming up with all of these things like the waterworks going around the bases and the bird bath out in the outfield. And it was kind of like their arrival.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, it just feels different. Like the vibes are like, It's no longer this team is here. The Orioles are basically like, yeah, we should win. That's how good we are.
Yeah.
They're playing
I think it also helps. So yeah, they won the AL East last year, but then got absolutely destroyed once they got to the postseason. So not only do they have this young core that grew up through the minor leagues together, so they have that chemistry together, they know how to work together. They had incredible success last year, but then that adversity that you need to kind of have that chip on your shoulder going into the next season with all of that talent, with that little bit of experience that you have, and to really get over that next hump. And we're seeing it not only on the field, but in the locker room, in the clubhouse, and how much fun that they're having playing. And this is exciting. You called it last year, 2 years ago, you said Baltimore World Series, I think 2025, maybe.
Yeah.
Or I think six. We're close.
I think last year I made the announcement. I said within.
Yeah.
I think I did say a specific year.
I know you did.
2025 World Series champs is, I believe, what I said. I think we put out like a graphic on social
media. We did. We'll see how close you are.
But yeah. And this year I have them in it, but not winning it. So I do feel really good about my prediction I think also one thing I said was within the next 4 years, I think they win one. And feeling good about that.
Not an overreaction. But let's get to this week's Overreaction Monday. If you are new to this segment, I'm going to give a big statement and Ben's going to share whether he thinks it's a overreaction or not. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's get started with our first Overreaction Monday. Pirates, Paul Skenes should be in the big leagues.
Paul Skenes is unbelievable. I mean, first pick for the Pirates out of LSU, unbelievable numbers in college, unbelievable numbers right now. Let me just read you some of those. His AAA stats this year. He's pitched in 4 games, has an ERA of 0.00, which pretty good.
I mean, you can't get much better than that.
27 strikeouts in 12 and two-thirds innings. He has a 0.71 whip and a .116 batting average against. He also has 104 of the 105 fastest pitches thrown by a AAA starter this year. Of the 105, he has 104 of them. So
then why isn't he up here? You're saying these numbers and they sound absolutely incredible.
So what I'm
why?
Going to say is it is going to shock some people, and I'm going to explain myself. It is an overreaction to say that Paul Skenes should be in the big leagues right now. And before everybody comes for my head, I can read these stats. I know the guy is dominant.
Yeah.
He is unbelievable.
Okay.
But the reason I'm saying this, and I still think a lot of people are going to disagree, but I don't care. This is my opinion. I'm going to say it anyway. The guy has never pitched every fifth day in his life. Not in college. He wasn't even a...
Why?
He was a catcher for the longest time. And in college, when he finally became a starting pitcher, you're still only throwing once every seventh day. So you're the Friday night guy. You pitch every Friday night for LSU. Here's the ball. Go get it. You know your day of the week. So then he gets drafted last year. Is already on an innings limit. He really didn't throw that much, but that's his first experience of, and they probably wasn't even on every fifth day last year. It was probably around six. So now here we are, and it's his first ever experience in his entire life of throwing once every fifth day. That is a massive difference. When your arm is used to having 6 days to recover, and now you have 4 days to recover, everything changes. The way your body recovers, the way you build up your arm to prepare, your routine, it is all a massive difference. And the guy's never done this in his life. So to expect him, do I think Paul Skenes has major league ready stuff? Absolutely. You would be a fool to say he doesn't have major league ready stuff, or even that he's not able to get out major league batters right now because he's too good for AAA. These numbers say this guy's going to be an all-time great. He's way too good to be facing AAA hitters. Tip your cap when you walk up to the plate. You don't have a chance. But he has to build up. He has to get used to the every fifth day, and you can't do that in the big leagues because it's not fair to you can't just do that to your relievers, having a guy throw 3 innings and then pull him, and then next time 3 1/3. But here's what I will say. We got to ramp this guy up faster.
Yeah,
he's out there. He's throwing 3 innings at it. He's thrown an inning and a couple An inning plus, two innings, two and a third, three and a third. And he's thrown like 20, 30, 40, and 50 pitches. So, yeah, I think he really needs to, prepare for it. He needs to get used to pitching every fifth day.
Yeah.
But I do think they need to be ramping him up faster. And then you can put him in the big leagues. If he's able to go out and throw five innings, let's say he's on a pitch count of 80 pitches.
Yeah.
Put him in the big leagues because this guy's going to get big league outs. But right now, his last outing, he threw three and a third innings. He punched out eight guys in three and a third. So I think it's an overreaction to say he should be in the big leagues right now. But let's ramp the guy up a little bit faster. His arm, he's thrown over 100 pitches. Like, he was a pitcher in college, and his arm is ready to throw those pitches. But we just got to get that ramp up a little faster. I would like to see him around the 4 or 5 inning mark right now. And then I would like, before he gets up to the big leagues, I would like to see him go multiple starts in a row of 5+ innings. So I really don't even, and I could be wrong. They could call him up tomorrow and I would be really excited and say, I can't wait to watch him pitch. But I don't think we're really all that close to this happening.
So what
I
do think you think? Like all-star break? Like maybe all-star break? This post-all-star break this season?
I mean, I don't really want to put a date on it because I really have no idea. But based off of where he is, throwing three and a third innings right now.
Yeah.
I don't foresee them putting him in the big leagues until he can go 5 innings multiple days in a row. So let's say next start, he goes out and they let him go 4 innings. And again, it's probably number of pitches more so than innings. But then, okay, you have another start in the 4 innings. And then you get to 5 innings. And then they want to see that again every fifth day. So, I mean, I think at minimum we're, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 starts away. So I still think we're a couple months away from seeing him be in the big leagues. I hope I'm wrong. I would like to see them ramp him up faster. But again, that is why he's not in the big leagues. And I'm not sitting here saying he shouldn't be in the big leagues because he needs to prove more in AAA. He doesn't need to prove anything besides that his body's capable of recovering every fifth day. He is dominant. He's going to be unbelievable in the big leagues. He's a lot of fun to watch. I just think the Pirates are, and I don't want to say they're being too cautious with him because in this day and age of arm injury after arm injury, like everybody's just trying to figure out how to keep pitchers healthy. But I would like to see him ramped up a little bit faster. The guy's thrown complete games in college. Like he can throw more than 3 1/3, I promise you. So I'm going to say it's an overreaction to say he should be in the big leagues right now, specifically because of the buildup.
All right. Well, let's keep talking about pitching and move on to our next Overreaction Monday. The Phillies have the best rotation in the National League.
I'm going to say yes. Here's why.
Okay.
This is not an overreaction to say that. Before the season started, I said the Atlanta Braves have the best rotation in baseball. What has happened since? Well, Max Fried, who's a big part of that rotation, has a 7.71 ERA. For those not keeping track at home or watching the Braves much, many people in baseball know the name Max Fried. He's a Cy Young contending pitcher. Nasty stuff. He has a 7.71 ERA on the season. Chris Sale, their new acquisition, 4.38 ERA. Charlie Morton, the savvy vet in the rotation that you seemingly always know what you're going to get, a 4.70 ERA. And the biggest reason of all I said the Atlanta Braves have the best rotation in baseball is because Spencer Strider, I had winning the NL Cy Young Award this year and striking out over 300 guys on the season. I don't think that's going to happen because he ended up getting Tommy John surgery and isn't going to pitch again this year. So Braves rotation, the guys that are supposed to be good, not pitching great. Spencer Strider out all year long with an injury. And then you talk about the Philadelphia Phillies and how good they have been. Zach Wheeler might very well be the best pitcher in baseball right now. You know, I know Tyler Glasnow will have a conversation about that, but Zach Wheeler, absolutely dominant, a 2.30 ERA on the year. Aaron Nola, a 3.16 ERA. That's Wheeler and Nola, their playoff dynamic duo.
Yeah.
Those are two of the highest ERAs they have in that rotation, and those are pretty low. Ranger Suarez, a 1.73 ERA.
Woo!
Spencer Turnbull, friend of mine, friend of the pod, 1.23 ERA. Chris Sanchez, bottom of the rotation guy, nasty changeup, 2.53 ERA on the year. Spencer Turnbull the other day took a no-hitter into the 8th inning on Friday. Zach Wheeler took a no-hitter into the 8th inning on Saturday. Aaron Nola, 3 outs away from a complete game in his last start. This rotation is downright filthy. first in the National League in ERA, first in shutouts, first in whip. What more do I need to be able to say that this is absolutely not an overreaction? The Philadelphia Phillies have the best rotation in the National League and maybe all of baseball right now.
Yeah, they're off to an extremely hot start right now. They finished that homestand 8-2, and they're tied right now for their best start since 2011. So not only are the arms taking care of business on the mound, we're going to talk about it in a bit, but some of their big bats are finally showing up. So this whole team is really coming together, and you have them winning the World Series.
You believe
hot in the Phillies. Philly, I always love the Phillies. I think they're great. I think they're a playoff built team, but right now we're seeing why they can be great later.
I absolutely do, Alex. I have them winning the World Series. I did have the Atlanta Braves winning the division, but I did also say, let's pump the brakes on the surefire Braves are going to win the division again. This Phillies team is every bit capable of taking the NL East. I still believe that, especially now with the loss of Spencer Strider. I believed it before. I believe in the Braves team a lot. I just think both of these teams are two of the best teams in all of baseball. And this is why I have the Phillies winning the World Series, not only because their lineup is dominant, but how many times have you all heard me talk about the blueprint to win in the playoffs? It is having two or three dominant starters, two ace rotation type guys, and a third that gets hot in the playoffs. And the Phillies, we know they have that. Wheeler and Nola pitch great in the playoffs. Their offense is capable of putting up big numbers. They have what it takes to win in the playoffs. They're winning right now. Their rotation's great.
All right, you mentioned the World Series. This moves us into our final Overreaction Monday. The Dodgers can't win a World Series as constructed.
Dodgers are struggling. Dodgers are struggling. They are barely above the 500 mark right now. And I am going to say this is not an overreaction. The Dodgers cannot win a World Series as currently constructed. And I said it before the year. I'll absolutely continue to say it now that we're, you know, about a month into the year, and they're barely above the 500 mark. The Dodgers' pitching is not good enough to win in October. It's not. The pitching's not good enough. They don't have enough depth. And one, I don't think they have the depth in the rotation. Two, the bullpen is in shambles. They don't have arms that you can possibly turn to. I know there are some injuries, but even if that weren't the case, they're I just don't see enough good arms right now to win in October. And I do think Bobby Miller is a guy. I think Bobby Miller is a guy that you can turn to in October. He's got nasty stuff. I think Tyler Glasnow has injury concerns, but I hope he gets to pitch in October. So then you have Bobby Miller and Tyler Glasnow, I'm concerned about the rest of the rotation. I'm concerned about the bullpen. I'm concerned about the bottom of this lineup. To say the absolute bare minimum, there is not a lot of depth in this Dodgers lineup. They have the best 1-2-3 in all of baseball. They might have the best 1-2-3 of all time. And they certainly have one of the best 1-2-3 in a lineup of all time. But you get down to that 7, 8, 9 spot in the lineup, and they currently don't have an option to turn to. Chris Taylor just got his second hit of the year over the weekend. He's hitting 51. That's his batting average, 51. You have Gavin Lux hitting 148 with an on-base percentage of 228. Bad. James Outman hitting 179. Kike Hernandez hitting 200. So whatever option they're trying to turn to find some hits to get on base ahead of Mookie Betts at the top of that lineup, ain't nobody doing it. Nobody's getting on base. So they have depth in the rotation problems. They have a bullpen problem. They have depth in the lineup problems. And I will just add, this is not to say they can't add, right? If they go out and get another starting pitcher or another bullpen arm, certainly this can change. But the question saying, can this team win a World Series as currently constructed? I'm going to say no. I didn't see it before the year. I don't see it now. They're struggling, and the pitching is a big, big concern come October.
Now, I am not surprised with your take at all, because this is what you have been saying before the season started. You did not think the Dodgers were a World Series team. Well, if you've been watching and listening, I do. And I do believe they can do it. They have the talent to make it happen, led on the mound by Tyler Glasnow. And the biggest thing, yes, they have a ton of pitching injuries that have happened, but they have guys coming back on the horizon. Bobby Miller will be back, confident he won't miss too much time. Walker Buehler is expected back late April. He recently made his fourth rehab start. You have Clayton Kershaw, who's supposed to be back after the All-Star break. Gratterall should be back mid-May. Blake Treiten should be back late April. It's weird. It's a bruised lung after getting hit by the ball. There's some things that you can't. It's just time. But they have the talent to make it happen. If any team has the talent, it's this team. And I think they're going to be just fine.
If any team has the talent, it's this team.
You just said they have the top three. You said they have the top three, probably the best 1-2-3 top of the lineup of all time.
Maybe ever. I mean, it's in the top three of the top three. Yeah, they have. Nobody's going to argue the top of the lineup. No. Nobody.
And we've seen bits and pieces just in this small chunk of the season that we've had so far that they have a lineup that can get hot. And then once they get two or three of these arms back, then their pitching staff is going to be better too.
And my question is, which ones? These are all arms that they've had in the playoffs in the past. The Blake Treinen, Sheehan, Brustar Gratterall. These are arms that we've seen them have in the playoffs. And I don't need to tell you this. The playoff success over the last couple of years isn't there. These arms aren't savior type of arms. I hope Walker Buehler comes back and is dominant. I hope Clayton Kershaw comes back. But Clayton Kershaw has a playoff ERA of 4.49. He's 13-13 in the playoffs. Is he the playoff savior for the Dodgers? And that's including peak Clayton Kershaw. He's not that guy anymore. Are we expecting Walker Buehler to come back and be dominant after his arm injuries? Dustin May, same sort of deal. And these are all arms that we've been talking about with the Dodgers for the last few years where there still hasn't been the success. Where are the new arms besides
Tyler Glasnow, Yamamoto? By the end of the season, maybe he kind of gets the feel for the big leagues. We see him get into more of a groove on the mound. Those could be two guys. These are two top tier guys. Yamamoto is back in Japan, three-time Cy Young winner. Tyler Glasnow was putting up Cy Young numbers. These are two guys that they did not have last year that could get them over the hump. And then you get, like I said, a Bobby Miller back who is a rising star for this team. Yeah. And he could be your 1-2-3 punch into the postseason if he's healthy. They have the pieces.
Not on those three. A rotation ERA, a playoff rotation that includes Tyler Glasnow, Yamamoto, and Bobby Miller. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe they have the pieces in the bullpen. You could move, let's say Walker Buehler comes back and is good. Okay, he's a rotation option then. Let's say he's also a big chunk inning guy in the playoff or
postseason?
In relief, the postseason. Dustin May, same sort of thing. Got nasty stuff. But all I'm saying is these are the same arms besides Yamamoto and Glasnow, good starters. I still have concerns about the bullpen and massive concerns about the bottom of the lineup right now. It's not to say they can't add, and I could sit here and say, yeah, you know what? They added this, this, and this. They can absolutely get to the World Series. But with this current team, I don't think so. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But
this is where we will agree to disagree. We'll leave it at that. And we'll move to the power rankings because we got a lot of movement this week, guys. Whew. But let's get started at number 10, which is the only non-movement that we had this week. And that's the Royals.
Yeah, Royals are still here holding strong. They're 13-9. They're a lot of fun to watch right now. You got Bobby Witt Jr. doing his thing as shortstop. You have a completely revamped pitching rotation. You have Vinny P over at first base. They're just a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun to watch right now. It is fun watching the Royals, and that is something we haven't been able to say for a long, long time.
Yeah.
They stayed here, stayed put at number 10.
Okay, moving to number 9, not ranked, I think, this season, the Mets.
Mets have not been ranked this season. 12-9. Really didn't feel good. I think it was before the year. You ever see me do those things on Twitter where I'm like, name a team that blah, 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 I'll start. It's this team.
Yes.
I said, name a team that you think will be surprisingly good this year. I'll start the New York Mets. Five days later, they were 0-5 and looked like the worst team of all time. But since then, they are 12-4. One of the better records in baseball over that span. They've been really good. I like this team a lot. I like the way that I like their offense. There's still a high, look, I know it didn't work out last year. And I know Max and Justin are out the door and their rotation looks a lot different. But they still have a high payroll and they still have guys that can play. Their lineup is really good. I hate that Francisco Alvarez is out of this lineup for a while with the UCL injury and his thumb. He's going to miss apparently 6 to 8 weeks, but they're just a lot of fun. They're here at 12-9 playing good baseball, and they're here at number 9.
All right, moving to number 8, up one spot, the Cubs.
Yeah, the Cubbies are 13-9. Fun to watch out there at Wrigley. And this is without Cody Bellinger hasn't even been all that good on the year. Tough start, but Michael Busch, the addition from the Dodgers, by the way, just saying, could be a good 7-8 hole hitter for the Los Angeles Dodgers, but I don't know. Maybe they picked the wrong guy and Lux over Busch, but I digress. Michael Busch has been great for the Cubs. Hit a homer like every game of like 5-6 games in a row. Nico Horner at the top of that lineup is starting to hit. Dansby's having some good games now, starting to hit the ball a lot harder. I like this Cubs team. Shota Imanaga, by the way.
Give him a moment.
I meant to wear his jersey. I have a Shota Imanaga Baystars jersey from when I went to Japan, went to watch him pitch, and I said, I want a jersey from every stadium I go to, and I want that guy's jersey. And it was Imanaga. And how good has he been to start his
Lights
career
out.
In Major League Baseball?
Lights out.
Unbelievable. The guy is disgusting. So much fun to watch. Didn't give up an earned run. His first like 18 innings in Major League Baseball, not a single earned run given up. Dominance. Cubbies are here at number 8.
All right, moving up to number 7, down 2 spots, the Brewers.
Yeah, Brewers are still playing good baseball. I'm going to get ahead of it. I'm going to get ahead of everybody saying, well, Ben, how are they moving? They've won 4 games in a row. You're such an idiot. They're 14-6. They've won 4 in a row. Ben sucks.
Is that how you hear your haters?
I've heard it all. All the haters talk the exact same.
That's how you hear the
male,
haters in your head?
Female, whatever you identify as, they all talk the same way in my head. Ben, you're so dumb. And I hear you. The Brewers are playing fine. This isn't about them. They didn't move down 2 because of how they're playing. They moved down 2 because of some of the other teams that have moved up. So let's just say they stayed the same. They did move down 2, but it's not because of what they did. They're at 7.
Okay. Number 6, Guardians, up 1.
Yeah. The Guardians keep playing good baseball. The Guardians are probably my surprise team of the year to this point. They're 16-6. Nobody saw this coming.
No.
Shane Bieber out, Tommy John. Tristan McKenzie hasn't been very good, hasn't been good at all this year. And here they are at 16-6.
Yeah.
They're fun to watch. They're here at 6.
Now we're into the top 5. At number 5, the biggest drop of the week, down 4, the Dodgers.
Yeah, the Dodgers don't have the record that the teams below them have. But the Dodgers were number 1 on the power rankings last week. They've been 1 or 2, maybe they were 3 at one point earlier, but they've been in that top 3 all year long until right now. So I bumped them down 4 spots because, look, you lose a series at home to the Washington Nationals. You lose 3 in a row at one point. They're just not playing good baseball. They're 13-11, just a couple games over .500. I know there's teams behind them with better records. But again, I'll say it to the haters out there that are always going to say, well, how are the teams? How are the teams behind them that playing with better records? And to that, I would say power rankings isn't the standings. If you want to find the standings, you can go to the MLB app. You can go to the Fox Sports app and you can look at the standings. But these are power rankings for a reason. The Dodgers are good. They're better than the teams behind them. They might even be better than the teams, some of the teams in front of them.
Yeah.
But right now, they have to slide down the list. It has not been good. You can't lose a series at home to the Washington Nationals. They've been playing some bad baseball. So they're here at 5.
I want you to do like mean tweets reading in that voice.
Cornucopia of mean tweets
just
out
in the
there.
Voice.
Some that might not be able to be read on.
Not appropriate. Okay, let's move to number 4 because
family friendly show.
Is it though? You cuss. That's not family friendly.
What?
Yeah.
Family friendly. Yeah. Family friendly show.
Okay. Well, let's move to number four. This is the biggest move of the week. They were not ranked last week. The Phillies.
Yeah, the Phillies have been in my power rankings pretty much all year long besides last week. Again, yeah. I have them winning the World Series. That's not a surprise to anybody. They are my World Series pick. I had them in the top five to start the year. Also wasn't a surprise to me that they slid out of the top five and then out of the top 10 because the Phillies have notoriously over the last couple of years
been a
team that just starts really slow and then just treads water for a while, gets hot, gets into the playoffs, and hey, what do you know? We're in the World Series. They're not doing that right now. They're playing really good baseball. They're 14-8. They've won six games in a row. Mm-hmm. Their pitching staff is maybe the best in baseball right now. Absolutely the best in the National League right now. So Phillies not only back in the top 10, they're back in the top five. They're back in the top four.
Keep going to the top three. At number three, down one spot, the Yankees.
Yes. Yankees. Slide just one. They're 15-7. Juan Soto is unbelievable. That's really all I got to say about the Yankees right now. Juan Soto is unbelievable. Aaron Judge, not good right now. Juan Soto, good. Where would the Yankees be without Juan Soto right now? I don't know, but it would not be 15-7. Mm-mm. Aaron Judge is having a bad, bad year to this point. Will it change around? Absolutely. I hope so. I do hope that injury that happened that he said he's going to be dealing with and having
maintenance
all year long isn't something that's a hindrance to his swing and that we're just seeing him get off to a bad first few weeks of the season. Again, it's April 22nd. I don't care. I could care less about his batting average. But his at-bats just look bad. He's getting booed at Yankee Stadium.
Did you hear his response, though? He said, I probably would do the same. I deserved it. Like, yeah. he wasn't mad at it.
Yeah. I do feel like that whenever a player gets booed and they're asked about it, I do feel like that's everyone's response, which
But the places where it happens, it's going to be Philly. It's going to be New York. It's maybe going to be Boston. It's in places where you're playing and you know these fans are going to have a love-hate relationship with you throughout the season.
Hey, Philly's pulled a full 180. They now cheer.
Standing ovation to turn Trey Turner's season around last year.
Yeah, Yankees at
epic.
Three.
Okay, on to number two, up two spots, Ben's favorite team, the Orioles.
The O's, baby. The O's, Jordan Westberg, Adley Rutschman, Colton Cowser, the Dong Bong, Cedric Mullins, Grayson Rodriguez, Corbin Burns. The O's are unbelievable. They're 14-7. They are so much fun. I love this team. Gunnar Henderson, Jackson Holliday hasn't even gotten his second hit in the big leagues yet, and I love him. I love this team.
I saw the content like as you were doing it, as you were listing it. I like saw them like popping up around your head as you were listing everything you love about this team. I think we need to make that happen. See you, Logan, over there.
This ain't a scripted show. Who knows what's going to come out of my mouth? Besides, at some point in every episode, we will be talking about the Dong.
Stop.
You knew that was
coming. No, we don't.
All right, the O's are number two.
Okay. That leaves one team left at number one, up two spots, the Braves.
Yeah, the Braves are back in the number one spot. Here's why. They had a little bit of a scooched them down a couple spots last week, but they are now back up. They sweep the Houston Astros on the road.
Big.
Then it's a tough, I know the Astros aren't playing well right now, but a tough couple games of the Astros and the Rangers in Texas. Sweep the Astros and then go up to Texas, up to Arlington. Take the first two against the Rangers. Again, we film on Sunday evenings, so they are the Sunday night game. So win the first two games of that series, could potentially sweep the Texas Rangers, but again, as we currently stand before that game goes final, the Braves have won six games in a row. They're 14-5. Their lineup is the best in baseball, top to bottom. Their rotation is really underperforming, and they're 14-5. Raisel Iglesias has been lights out in the back end of that bullpen. So, yeah, the Braves I had as the number one, scooched them down just a little bit, but now after a really good week, they are right back up there at the number one spot. So for those not keeping track at home, first off, why not? Second, we got the Royals at 10, Mets at 9, Cubs 8, Brewers, Guardians, Dodgers, Phillies, Yankees, Orioles, Braves, rounding out the top 10.
My scooch made it into your final thought there. Yeah. So that ended up winning.
Yeah.
I like that. All right. Like, well, now let's talk about the best lineup in all of baseball this week. It is time for our team of the week. We're going to get things started behind the plate with the big dumper, Cal Raleigh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cal Raleigh behind the plate. One of the more underrated catchers in the game of baseball. Not a lot of people talk about him, but the guy the last couple of years has led all of baseball catchers and homers. Hit 467 on the week with two home runs, four RBIs, and an OPS of 1.486.
All right, moving up to first base, Vinny Pasquantino.
Vinny P, a big reason the Orioles and the Royals, they sound really similar. Big reason the Royals are playing good baseball is because of Vinny over at first base. Hit 389, had three homers on the week, 19 total bases, and an OPS over 1,600. So Vinny Pasquantino is my first baseman.
Moving over to second base, Ketel Marte.
Yeah, Ketel Marte had a really big week, and it was just fun watching him.
Yeah.
Because just really clutch hits, I thought, and the numbers are great. 433 average, two homers, 21 total bases, an OPS of almost 1,200 on the week. But the D-backs were down to their last out in a game. He was their last hope. They're down a run, nobody on base, hits a homer to tie the game. They end up winning it in extra innings, and that was his last at bat of that game. Very next game, first swing he takes of that game, hits another homer. So clutch homers, big week, Ketel Marte, one of the better, and again, a more underrated second baseman in the game of baseball.
All right, moving on to third base, Jordan Westberg.
One of those O's. Mm-hmm. Jordan Westberg is my third baseman. One of those young O's, by the way. He's young, fun, exciting to watch. 435 average, hit a homer, six RBIs, and a 1.1111 OPS.
One. Moving over to shortstop, Phillies, Trey Turner.
Yeah, Trey Turner is here. Shortstop was a tough spot this week. I ended up going with Trey Turner because, well, he hit 538. Mm-hmm. He had two homers, seven extra base hits, and an OPS of 1,500 on the week. So that 538 average with that OPS, seven extra base hits, is I couldn't go with anybody other than Trey Turner. There is another name. I think Alex might mention it later, so I'm not going to dive into any stats or anybody else.
But cool.
Couple big-time performances.
It was like the hot position of the week. Yeah. Okay. Moving to the outfield. Now, remember, this is just three outfielders, not in any necessary position or specific order, but let's get started with your first outfielder, Anthony Santander.
Yeah. Anthony Santander is another Oriole on this team of the week. 368, hit a homer, four RBIs, slugged almost 1,200 on the week. So he's my first of three outfielders.
Second outfielder, Dalton Varsho.
Yeah, the Blue Jays, a big pickup for the Blue Jays last year. Really underperformed, didn't have a great year, wasn't off to a great start this year, but he had 353 on the week with three homers, an OPS of 1421. So he's my second of three outfielders.
And rounding out the outfielders, the man carrying the Yankees right now, Juan Soto.
Mr. New York Yankee himself. He should be the captain of the Yankees.
Whoa.
No, I'm just kidding.
Slow your roll.
Just wanted to rustle
slow
some
your roll,
there. Juan Soto,
buddy.
409 average, two homers, 500 on base percentage. That's pretty close to getting on base half the time at the plate this week. Pretty good there. And an OPS of 1.273. So Juan Soto, Dalton Varsho, and Anthony Santander are my three outfielders.
Okay, moving on to designated hitter, Brian De La Cruz.
Just a lot of homers.
Yep.
A lot of homers this week for Brian De La Cruz. Four homers, 10 RBIs, an OPS of 1.086. Hit 286, but man, was he driving the ball. Clutch homers. They were down in the ninth inning the other day, down a run. He had a huge two-run homer to come from behind and win that game. So clutch, a lot of power. Good week for him. He's my DH.
Starting pitcher, Jose Berríos.
Jose Berríos has really turned the resurgence of Jose Berríos is awesome. Really, really good pitcher for the Twins. Ends up traded, going over to the Blue Jays, and just not, I don't know. He went through something. It's almost like he lost his mechanics or he lost his confidence or something, but he's back to being that nasty pitcher. He had two wins on the week, 13 innings pitched, struck out 13 guys, didn't give up a single earned run in two starts, and a whip under one, 0.85. So Jose Berríos is on the mound as my starting pitcher.
Love to see it. Now let's wrap things up with your relief pitcher of the week, Raisel Iglesias.
Braves, number one on the power rankings. Winning six games in a row, entering Sunday. That means a lot of save opportunities.
Raisel
Iglesias ended up with four on the week. 3 1/3 innings pitched, four saves, three strikeouts, zero earned runs, zero hits on the week. Perfection.
Perfection.
That's it. That's we end with closer. All right. So that going around the field, you got Cal Raleigh, Vinny P, Ketel Marte, Jordan Westberg, Trey Turner, Anthony Santander, Dalton Varsho, Juan Soto, Brian De La Cruz, Jose Berríos on the mound, Raisel Iglesias also on the mound just a little bit after Jose Berríos to end the game. My player of the week.
Yeah.
I'm going Trey Turner. How could I not? 538 batting average, two homers, and a 1500 OPS. We talked about it earlier. The Phillies faithful, full 180. They just now cheer for underperformance, really try and turn guys around. Well, they did it with Trey Turner. Again, not the best start to the year this year. Not your typical Trey Turner start. Took him a little while to get that first homer, but he had seven extra base hits on the week, two of those being homers, hit over 500. Trey Turner and the Phillies, they're back. Alex, who's your player of the week?
Well, we're sticking with the shortstop theme, all right? Because my player of the week is Gunnar Henderson, the Orioles phenom. Now, the only reason he's not on the team of the week is because of the shortstop that you just mentioned, Trey Turner. But if you could have snuck him in, he deserves to be somewhere on this team of the week. The reigning AL Rookie of the Year is showing why he was a Silver Slugger, batting 458, three home runs, six RBI, an OPS of 1369, one stolen base, and he is helping this team inch closer to the top of the AL East. Just right on the Yankees' heels.
And you missed one big thing. The mustache. You kidding me? A mustache like that, he should have been my player of the week. I like it. I also think that's the first time in history one of us has a player of the week that is not on the team of the week. Unfortunately, they play the same position. So I'm glad you went with him. Needed to be talked about. But unfortunately for him, Trey Turner had an unbelievable week. But Trey Turner for me, Gunnar Henderson for you.
Shortstops, baby.
And that does it for us. Fun show.
Great
fun
show.
Monday show. Be on the lookout. We got a guest episode coming up soon. We got a Friday episode coming up. We got Saturday with Smoltz. If you didn't listen over the weekend, go back and listen to Saturday with Smoltz. Talk about these pitcher injuries, how we go about fixing them, who the best rivalry in the game is right now. But he's been great, and he joins me every single Saturday on Flippin' Bats for Saturday with Smoltz. So go check that out. We got a fun week ahead. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever. You can also watch everything we do, every episode on Spotify. You can watch everything on YouTube at Flippin' Bats Pod there. And follow us on TikTok. We're getting close to 100,000 followers. We really want 100,000, and we put a lot of cool stuff on there as well. So go follow us on TikTok. But that does it for this Monday episode. Enjoy the week, everybody. We got a lot of good stuff coming out. But remember, until next time, my friends, find your bat and flip it.